On the line, we have Professor Barry Shoup. Professor Shoup, as you know, is the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Prof, you must be a man who is in much demand at the moment.
Hi, Simon. I'm not sure about that. Am I?
That's such a niche area of expertise. I mean, whoever would have thought that, we'd be speaking to you daily, like wanting you to just give us good news and tell us, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. But, Prof, we're not quite there yet.
I wish I could do that.
Yes, I know that. We'll have to wait a couple of weeks for that, I suppose. But let's talk to the present time, and there's some worrying stats coming out of government at the moment. I believe that we are up to, 3,158 known cases, 13.5% increase since Friday. What's going on, Prof?
Yeah, I think what's going on is that we're actually leaving now what is called the linear phase. In other words, where the epidemic was really essentially or mainly amongst the travelers and the contacts of travelers. And we're now entering what we call the exponential phase. Now, there's an exponential increase in the number of cases. In fact, over the last couple of days, it's been more than 200 per day. And before that, we were, about 30 or 40 per day. We're at 54 deaths now. So certainly we're going into a new phase, a widespread community spread of the virus. And this, of course, is worrying. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the government itself is really faced with major problems. You know, we've been, 25 days into the lockdown. So as you mentioned a bit earlier, for us, it's we've been through far worse in the history of the Jewish people. But for large sections of the South African population, it's a major problem. You know, there are quite serious social costs. The social distress has become extremely high. Food security now is a problem, and large-scale hunger is starting to loom now. There are also psychological costs, population resistance, and even population defiance for the lockdown is now starting to rear its head. And, of course, I don't need to talk about the economic costs. I mean, those are tremendous. So, you know, if you kind of look at all of this, the government is faced with a major problem, because on the one hand, in terms of the epidemic itself, we're entering the exponential phase where this is really not the time to kind of be relaxing any lockdown restrictions. On the other hand, the government is faced with these enormous costs, the economic and social and psychological costs. So they're kind of wrestling with these two kind of major problems. I believe there's a cabinet meeting this morning, or there was a cabinet meeting this morning, where they're really going to decide, well, what happens after the 29th of April? You know, can they extend the lockdown, which the medical side, the statistics would kind of suggest. But on the other hand, they'd have to really look at some kind of relaxation, some kind of exit strategy because of the economic and the social costs. And, you know, already there have been some hints or some relaxation which have already been announced, as we've seen in the media. But really, from the Jewish community point of view, really, this is not really the time now to relax our social distancing and our preventive precautions. This is really now the time. Now, I think probably one of the major problems is that the seriousness of the threat is largely not seen. It's largely hidden. And up to now, fortunately, there have been very, very few hospitalized Jewish COVID patients. But, you know, unfortunately, Simon, I think one has to realize, to be realistic about it, this is going to change. We're now really entering the more serious part of the epidemic. And it is really what we do now is what's going to minimize the coming adversity. And I think we need to kind of think very carefully about not being complacent and not relaxing our guard.
Prof, that's really very important advice that you are giving us, although I would imagine that that's very hard to put into practice, because I would imagine it's human nature that if, in fact, the lockdown is eased somewhat, those of us who've been at home are just going to – we're going to be like a spring that's been tightened, just exploding. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to observe social distancing and all those rules after what we've just been through.
I know. It's a problem. It's a problem because the kind of major part of the country, like – there are hints now that they're going to phase in, that the schools are going to go back again. Now, it's going to be very difficult to kind of, but I think that message is becoming so important. But, you know, I think, Simon, what's going to be an important factor in the Jewish community is when we hear about people, unfortunately, regrettably, it's going to happen, people in hospital of members of the community.
Prof, that's a very interesting point that you raise. I happen to know somebody very well whose entire family was infected by the virus. Yes. And I asked them to talk to me on Chai FM, and they wouldn't because of the stigma. They had seen somebody else who had put their hand up and apparently had been hugely stigmatized by the community, and not only by the community, by all sorts of people that they knew. And I just wondered, Prof, about this issue of stigma. Where's there room for stigma in catching a virus, for goodness sake?
Well, you know, I think the problem is that this is – now, people who've got the infection are now viewed as a pariah in a way, because it's sort of a kind of a leprosy, but more contagious leprosy, and that you want to keep your distance away from them. But I think where the stigma originally in the early cases was when it was found out that the people that were infected didn't social distance themselves and were at functions and so on, and obviously putting people at risk. I think that is where that early stigma came from. I think it will disappear as more and more cases become apparent, and we realize that, look, this is just something that none of us are really immune to. You know, we can all catch the virus because we all have to breathe air, and that's how it's transmitted through the air. But yeah, I think what's going to happen, you know, if you look at the stories coming out of New York, I mean, there's some horrific stories of, you know, people attending a function, whether it wasn't a lockdown or whether not in a lockdown, and then spreading through the community, and that, you know, and resulting in a number of deaths. There have been quite a few prominent deaths amongst Rabbonim and so on. And I think when that, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say this, but I think when that becomes news in our community, I think that's going to be the strong motivation factor. But again, I must emphasize that what we do now is the time when we can kind of minimize that, we can ameliorate that adversity, which is unfortunately going to come to some extent.
Prof, we have to leave it there because we're out of time, but just very quickly, I've got some homework for you again for our discussion tomorrow. Michael has weighed in. He wants to know from you, and we'll have to address this tomorrow, how banning hot cooked foods assists prevent the virus transmission. So there you go. That's one. And the second thing that I'd like to talk to you about is secondaries, i.e. kidney failures and issues like that following an infection. But
The complications.
No, tomorrow. Prof, as always, thank you so much. And we value your time and your input.